please.
Thank you. When I used to have a pushchair and take my children to school, that was an excellent time to try and learn a line off by heart.
Yeah.
So you can actually learn a lot in a term.
Yes, yes. Lovely. Did you, you don't need to tell us which one, but did you find a verse today that you thought you would like to learn?
Well, this is, I already learnt this psalm, yeah. So I used it to just refresh it. But just choose something that you find strength in, that encourages you, and that you like the sound, because like you said, it is quite poetic.
Yes, it is.
And it's lovely, which is why I had to look up the other version, because I've got all the rhythms of my version in my mind.
Yes, so, me too. I've got the NIV, but if you've learnt it in a different version.
But my favourite verse is verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days you had ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them.
Yeah, you find that encouraging.
It's my favourite verse.
Yeah. In the whole Bible or just in the psalm?
You can't say there's one favourite verse in the
whole
Bible.
It's a good one. And actually, I think that learning verses like this, when you have felt them in your heart to be true, is exactly one thing that would be useful for the people that were in the doubt seminar. It's the way you can store up, did she say money in your savings in your spiritual account, because you can then use those verses to battle, and how you do that is you use that verse to speak God's words and truths into your mind, rather than keep bringing up your own frantic, anxieties. Yeah. And anybody else? Somebody at the back there?
Yeah, it's there were just two little things that I wanted to share. They're only little. But the line that said, "You hem me in behind and before."
Yeah.
"And you lay your hand on me and me." Maybe imagine me being in an envelope. But the thing about that is that I'm still me in it.
Mm.
So it's like God was saying, I'm being as close as I can be, but I want you to be you at the same time.
Yeah.
And the other thing that struck me was in the second segment, if I try and run away from God, so it's as if I want to escape from him, if I'm angry with him, or if I go through a phase of doubting, then he's there. But the second half of that, which was verses 12, I've got my glasses, 11 and 12, is if circumstances take hold of me, so not when I'm running away, but where, say, grief would enter or illness would try and separate me, he's still there. So whether it's me being willfully running away or something tries to separate me, either case, he's still there.
Yeah, lovely. Those are both just such big encouragements, aren't they? And certainly that one about God hemming you in has been hugely encouraging to me over the words and over the years. And I actually now, if I'm feeling scared about anything, I actually envisage myself running into God's shelter and into his arm and resting there and knowing I'm safe there, even though I have no idea how the situation's going to pan out. So I love that. And your thing about you're still you. I mean, the second half of the psalm is all about how you are fearfully and wonderfully made as you. So that's marvellous. And then the next bit you mentioned, which verse was that? Yeah, whether we'd separate ourselves from God or circumstances would, he's still there. And again, later in the psalm, because I, having dwelt on this in last week's, done my meditation, I went to the second half of this week, verse 18, when I awake, I'm still with you. So yeah, whether we're coming out of actual sleep or whether we can't sleep or whether we have been in a confused kind of slumber, when we come through it, we know God is still right there, right next to us. Yeah. More. Somebody else's hand was up. Somebody at the top, are you able to shout? Yes. Yes. Yeah. No. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing, isn't it? He's made our thoughts and our minds, and he knows exactly how to read them, sees them before they happen. He knows when they're in turmoil and how he can sort that out. And the last two verses of the psalm, search me and know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I mean, that is the most amazing prayer. And so even though I was going through a time of suffering when I discovered this, I actually found myself saying, okay, so you know my thoughts and my heart. Maybe even though I'm the one that feels like the victim here, maybe you still need to search out my thoughts. You still need to see if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me there. It was like sort of saying, okay, here, I'm putting my heart on a plate and please do surgery quickly because I'm not enjoying this. And yeah, that's a great prayer. Anybody else? Right at the back.
I've been looking after my grandchildren just over the last couple of weeks, and there's been a lot of hand-holding to stop them running into the road and things like that, and to make them come the way I want them to go. And it's just the verses that, with a couple of them, the hem me in one, it says, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. And then verse 10, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. And it's our Heavenly Father holding on to our hand, holding on to us with his hand and making sure we're safe in our life, and he's there all the time and he doesn't let us go.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many psalms that talk about God holding our hand. I love the one that says that he draws us out of deep waters and brings us to a spacious place because he delights in us. It's glorious. And sometimes when you feel like you're drowning and you're just barely head above the water, just have that mental image of, okay, Lord, reach down and pull me out, and I am trusting you're going to bring me into a spacious place. And I'm trusting you because I know that you delight in me. It's a lovely thing. Again, if you can pray that in the midst of your suffering, and then just wait to see how he does it. He will bring you to a spacious place, even if right now you feel like that's never going to happen. It will. Yeah. Anybody else? Right down the front. Oh, sign. Lovely.
I was looking particularly at verse 7 to 12, as somebody else was talking about as well. And about 4 days ago, I've got two daughters. My elder daughter was in bed, and she was saying, Mummy, can you stay with me? Please, can you stay with me, Mummy? And I was saying, well, can I just go to the toilet? And she was saying, no, Mummy, I'm really frightened. And I was saying, well, what are you frightened of? And she was sort of explaining what she was frightened. She's only just three, nearly four, sorry, but she's three at the moment. And she said, she was talking about Jesus doing miracles, and she was saying, Jesus can do miracles, can't he? And I was saying, yes, Jesus can do miracles. And she was saying, and Jesus has a beard. And I was saying, yes, Jesus perhaps had a beard. And she was saying, and Jesus is the light. And I was saying, yes, Jesus is the light. And she was sort of saying that she was scared of the dark. And I was saying, but Jesus is the light, so what does that mean? And she was sort of saying, oh, so he's the light even though I'm scared of the dark. And we just had this really lovely conversation that she was understanding that although she was a bit frightened of the dark, Jesus is light even in the darkness of her thoughts, and that he's with her. And it was just amazing to have a conversation for the first time really on this level with my daughter, who's nearly four. And I haven't had these conversations with her before, and I can't take the credit for explaining some of this to her. But just for her to be able to sort of talk about that, and actually for her to receive comfort from that. And she was saying other things like, and Jesus wore sandals, and it was kind of a bit going from trivial stuff to not so trivial stuff. But it was just really lovely that actually she's thinking through these things, and it's a comfort for her. And she was crying, and I was crying, and that was, it was amazing for me to have my daughter express herself in this way and to receive comfort, and it was a comfort to me as well.
That's really beautiful. I've been blown away sometimes when my kids have spoken truths to me straight from God, even when they were very small. And again, it's testimony to how God has made their minds and their hearts as well, and how we can nurture that, but God is the one that waters the seed that we plant, and we can trust him with our children that he's going to bring them to fruition and to full faith. However much we fail, we just have to do a little bit each day, do what we can, and God will use that. The theme of darkness, light in the darkness, verses 11 and 12, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. I mean, that's exactly, again, what we were talking about in the, I guess, in the doubt session. And if you've ever suffered with depression, then it feels like darkness, doesn't it? And verse 12 is absolutely glorious. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. God just doesn't see the darkness where we see it. He sees his glorious light. It's like a really, really cloudy day, and or if you've ever been on an aeroplane and it's all cloud down here, and then you break through the cloud and it's glorious sunshine, blue sky. That's how God sees it from where he is. But he's still, you know, with us in the darkness. And continuing that verse, the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So, you know, when you are in that place of darkness, just trust that God is all about turning darkness to light. He will do that. And it's such a great prayer if you're praying for somebody who's going through, you know, terrible illness or something where you cannot possibly know or see the answer, just to pray that God would turn their darkness to light. We probably got about, where did we start? 10 past, didn't we? So I'm going to give us 3 more minutes. Anybody got anything else?
I just found it all really encouraging that God really knows me well and cares for me. And the opening verse, verse 1, just really made me think, wow, the creator of the universe searched me and knows me.
Yeah. I mean, amazing to be known. And this is what the world is searching for, isn't it? I mean, you know, Liz was talking about going out encouraged after today about Jesus being light to the world, for all the world. And if you could just share the one verse that you have underlined today sometime this week with your kids or somebody you meet, because then you have shared the light with them, and God can do the rest. If there are no more, anybody got anything really pressing? Just to add 2 little things that we haven't looked at. One is, I really recommend keeping a journal if you want to say over the next 2 weeks to do a psalm like this. Specifically, really, to capture those verses that you have struck you and want to learn. I kept a journal, and as I said, they're essential for the battle, those verses, having God's voice speak out over your thoughts and your dismay. But as I look back on my journal, and I did it again recently, or several journals, and my sermon notes are in the other half of the journal, so they both speak. And I look back at the verses that have sustained me through thick and thin, some of which I've learnt, some I haven't. It's like treasures dropping from heaven as I read that back, and I realise that they are more precious than silver or gold. I mentioned witness. If you are still in your Father's presence by his word, you'll discover treasures that's so lovely you'll want to share them. And you won't notice this because God leads us very gently, step by step. But over time, as you grow in dependence and trust on him and being still and being held, you will become a better encourager, because you'll have these words on your lips. And you'll become a better evangelist for the same reason. And finally, I guess, prayer, just that we pray so much better when we've been meditating on God's word, and because it's gone right down into our heart and we are able to respond with our whole being. I think this is mentioned in Tim Keller's book on prayer, but I think it might be taken from Jim Packer as knowing God. And he says that prayer is a conversation started by God in his word. So when we dwell in his word and we're still in it, until we respond with our whole being, which I hope you've got a flavour of today, that's when you can talk back to God, you praising him or whatever your prayer back to him is, and that you can make that conversation keep going, and it's joyful, and you'll find that your petitions are then more in line with God's will, and that your prayers will be more effective. Let me just finish with a prayer. I'm happy to chat with anyone in the tea break if you would like to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you know the hearts and minds of each person here today. I thank you that your wisdom and your faithfulness are so infinitely great that we can spend all of our lives and all of eternity marvelling on them. I thank you that there is nowhere that we can go that you are not with us, gently leading us by the hand and carrying us close to your heart. Forgive us, Lord, when we seek to run our lives by our own strength and wisdom. In fact, so often our own weakness and foolishness. Please teach us by your grace to be still before you, to gaze on your beauty each day, that we would know your peace in our hearts until we see the glorious light of your face in eternity. Amen.